This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a fond good morning to one and all, and might I say,
friend.
Charlie.
Remember, we only have a friend out there.
That's right. Good morning, friend.
Friend?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much.
You received the email from our good friend Gene Stevens.
Yes.
But I'm in brackets because it's not my anniversary on the show today.
Not quite.
No, that comes up in another couple of weeks.
That's right.
But 10 years you've been behind the microphone doing the garden show, and Gene was absolutely right with all of the information there. Good for you,
yes.
Gene. He listens every morning, and I love this line. He says, so proud of you both, sounding great every Saturday morning. I still don't care for gardening, sorry, but I love listening.
Well, when Gene hired me originally, and
yeah.
I mean, he was pretty upfront. You know, frankly, he says, don't really have any interest in gardening whatsoever. However, you know, the station believes that there are gardeners who
and
would love to hear a gardening show.
Yep.
And so I was very excited to be hired to do the show. Absolutely. It all began 10 years ago today.
That's right. Well,
so thanks,
again,
Gene. Thanks for remembering.
Congratulations, Charlie. Well deserved. We have phone numbers to give out here. I better get that on the air.
If we want anybody to call.
That's right. Yeah.
We could just talk.
Here in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Please remember our little mantra, if you would, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, let our new operator, Faz, know, and he will jot down a little note to me, and I'll give you a little garden ring there with our
which gives
bell.
You your garden wings.
Exactly.
And we always welcome first-time callers to
you
the
betcha.
Show.
You betcha. Now, usually, and I'm sure today is no exception, you have a whack of things to talk about.
Correct. So,
all right.
Let's start at the top. The Scarborough Garden and Hort Society is hosting another garden tour. That's tomorrow from 12 noon to 4 p.m. 8 unique gardens, and it includes afternoon tea, all for only $10. Tickets are available in the parking lot of Scarborough Recreation Center tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., which is 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. The Thornhill Hort Society is also hosting a self-guided garden tour tomorrow from 11 to 3:30. There are 10 gardens in the Thornhill community. Tickets are $15 each, and they're available at Woodhill Garden Center on Steeles or Wild Birds Unlimited at 7680 Yonge Street. The Scarborough Garden and Hort Society is also hosting a general meeting this coming Wednesday, July 11th. There will be a free presentation called Gardening for Butterflies. This is by author, photographer, and gardener Thelma Beaubien. Refreshments are included. Guests are always welcome. 7 p.m. in the Scarborough Village Recreation Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road. The annual Bob Cajun Horticultural Society Garden Tour and Tea. I love that. Tours and Tea is happening on July 14th. Have you ever watched cricket?
Yeah. Oh, my Lord.
My son was talking about it yesterday, and he said, if you actually tracked the time when people are playing cricket and drinking tea, he said he thinks they probably drink tea more than they
more
play
than
cricket.
They actually play, yeah.
I had no idea. Anyway, I just thought of that. The garden tours and tea makes sense to me. And that's July 14th. The Bob Cajun Hort Society is a small but very enthusiastic horticultural society that donates all of the funds raised by the tour to designated village beautification projects. So there's 6 unique gardens open from 10 to 4, only $15, and your ticket includes admission to the Boyd Museum and Kawartha Settlers Village. Pretty cool. Tickets are available from several retailers. For more information, www.bobcajunhorticulture.com. And I will pause and give you the rest as we go through the show.
One little thing we should do is just say hi to
Joan Love.
Yes.
We love Joan Love.
Yeah,
hi,
indeed.
Joan.
Well, she had a pool party for a bunch of gals last weekend.
And you and I was a surprise guest, and
yep.
You came as a surprise guest.
That's right, yeah.
In your alter ego.
Well, yeah, Maud showed up and had a great time.
Yes.
And we enjoyed that pool, too.
I just found it so interesting. Like, you said a pool party, so I went, of course I'm bringing my bathing suit. Well, only you and I swam. All those women were all sitting around chit-chatting, and we were swimming.
Something?
Beautiful garden, beautiful pool, beautiful day.
Yep.
What a great place to be on such a hot day in the lovely, cool waters of her swimming pool.
Thank you, Joan.
Yeah.
We better get moving here. Have a few words from our sponsors coming along, and of course, we'll return after that with more goodies as we welcome to the line Ines, Chiwiz. I think it's
Elsie.
Is it Elsie? Oh, there you are. No, that's from. Oh, yeah. Okay, Elsie.
Right.
Oh, boy, it's going to be one of those days.
Glasses
the heat is baking my brain, I think. Okay.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's check in and see what's happening with Elsie this morning. She's on the line. Good morning, Elsie. Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. A question about irises. When can I dig them up and replant them again?
You want to do some digging and dividing or sharing?
Yeah. I want to dig them up and transplant them someplace else.
All right. You know, when's your best time? August. Early August. Anytime first couple of weeks of August. Nice dry day. Get out there, dig, separate. If you have to use a knife, slice them. Don't break them apart. And then replant the healthy ones. If any are soft and mushy, into the garbage. There is an insect, a borer, that bores into the irises, and you'll know because they'll have holes in them, or they'll have really ugly insect inside them, and they'll be all mushy, and those do not replant.
Oh, okay. And is there any place that just sells irises?
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few. You know what? I think I'm going to have to double check. It's called Lost Horizon. There's an excellent iris place. Trails. I'll keep listening. I'll think of it.
we'll come up with some words. We will. Charlie will come up with some answers for you.
Throughout the next half hour, I'll come up with a couple of names of specialty iris growers in Southern Ontario.
Okay.
Where exactly do you live?
Tottenham.
Perfect.
Yeah. Because I like to get. I've got quite a few irises that are unique, like different colors and stuff like that. And obviously, there has to be more out there.
Yeah. Oh, there is for sure. Yeah. There's lots out there, thousands. Yeah.
You hang tight, Elsie. Charlie, if anybody can do it, she will do it for you. Okay.
So I can. I'll dig them up and replant them in August.
Yep.
Right? Okay.
Very
great.
Good. All righty. Thank you so much.
I had to wait until I had a day off to call you.
Well, glad you got through.
Exactly. Good for you being first in line. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Audrey in Port Hope calling in. Hi, Audrey. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
I'm calling about phlox.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to my local gardener here, or nursery owner, and she says I have I need to use fungicide on my phlox. They're all turning brown, and it's mold, powdery mildew mold.
Yeah,
etc. Mm-hmm. And or water them with borac, which is a copper fungicide. Is that the thing that you would recommend?
Well, okay, so there is a fungicide. It's actually the very first fungicide that was ever invented by mankind, and this was a couple hundred years ago, and it is copper sulfate, and it's called Bordeaux. So B-O-R-D as in Dobbin O, so Bordeaux, and it was invented to control mildew on grapes in France. So, yes, that will work. You have to follow the instructions very clearly. And you will be spraying this spray onto the phlox. It comes in a powder form. So you, like I said, follow the instructions. And when it's, you know, 150 degrees outside, don't spray anything on any plants because it's hot, just too hot. So temperature matters as well. And to make life easier for yourself so you don't have to worry, because phlox is susceptible to powdery mildew, and some of the colors and varieties are more susceptible than others. So, two things you could consider moving forward. One is replace your current phlox with a variety that is resistant to mildew, and you will never have to think about this ever again. You won't have to spray for mildew because the phlox won't get mildew. And or number two, if you love this particular phlox you've got, look, make sure it's in lots and lots of sun, full day sun, good air circulation, meaning that the wind can kind of blow through, and do whatever you need to ensure that you set up sort of conditions to minimize the amount of mildew that will actually grow on the phlox.
I've cut down a lot of the phlox, and I did spray them, but of course it didn't help much. And I do have Bordeaux. That's what I use.
Yeah. Well,
and she suggested pouring some on the roots. Now, do I leave those in the ground and hopefully they be healthy next year, or have to dig them all out?
No. If your local gardener suggested watering the soil with the Bordeaux mixture, then you could do that. But no, do not dig the plants up to do that. All I think that the recommendation is trying to do is to minimize the survival of any of the powdery mildew spores, tiny yeah. microscopic spores that settle and will settle on the surface of the soil. But you know what? Always remember, you can't make a fungus disappear. Once you've got the fungus growing on the plant, it's there. All you can do is control it from spreading. So your Bordeaux will control the spread, but it will not eradicate the fungus. So that's the drag of fungal
good
diseases.
Point to keep in mind, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for
Thank
calling.
You very much.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
So much, Audrey. What a gorgeous day it is, too, Charlie.
It was,
huh?
And yesterday.
Oh.
I got so much done in the garden yesterday. Yeah. I was just a happy camper. I was shearing my ewes and chopping all kinds of shrubs back. It was excellent. So productive.
Yep. All righty. Well, we'll keep busy with the rest of the show coming in mind. We have lots of callers lining up right now. And just in case there is the line open, let me quickly go over the phone numbers. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere in the province, it is toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Back in a moment to have a word with Erica here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Alrighty, my friends, let's go along the line here to Erica and welcome her to the show,
yes.
The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I'm calling about the my clivia. It's 5 years old, mm-hmm. and it was always a healthy, happy plant. Mm-hmm. This year, it's blooming right now for the fourth time.
Oh, nice.
But the leaves are getting yellow. I have at least 7 or 8 leaves that are turned yellow, and I'm afraid there's something wrong with my plant, and I really want to save my plant, so I do need your help.
Okay, so if you look at the plant, you'll see bottom line is, are the yellow leaves the outer leaves of the plant?
No, not only. It starts on the bottom, but
yes.
They're also in between.
Okay.
Going up, I mean, in between.
Yeah, and did you transplant this plant at all?
No, I haven't touched that plant in all the time that
Good.
I had
Good.
In the 5 years.
It doesn't want to be transplanted. They like to be pot-bound, so you want
yeah,
to...
Yeah, so I was told, so therefore I didn't touch the plant. I didn't transplant it. And for the very first time in the 5 years, this year, it's blooming for the fourth time.
That's great. Wow. No, that's... So, okay, now have you fertilized at all?
I did.
Okay.
I did a few, I think about 2 months ago.
Oh.
And I was wondering, maybe it didn't like the fertilizer. I don't know. I used very, very little.
Do you remember what kind of fertilizer it was?
It's in the yellow box. I don't have it right here.
Okay,
I don't know.
Don't worry. All right. So, well, I wonder if it's really old that it's called RX15. Anyway, that was in the yellow box, but they haven't made that in a lot of years. But it's a great fertilizer. So what I would do is, the fact that you're getting that much flowering indicates to me that you are doing a very good job in terms of its location for light, but also watering.
Well, right now, the pot is full, and the roots, I guess, pushed up the soil, so I cannot water it from the top very well. I water it from the bottom.
Okay. So what size pot is it in? Is it still like a little pot?
How big? Eight-inch pot.
Okay. All right, so if it's that pot-bound, and it has been 5 years, maybe you should consider potting it up one size. So if it's in an 8-inch pot, go to a 10-inch pot, and now would be a good time to do it.
Even while it's blooming?
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's blooming nonstop, so there's no easy time to repot. But if you can even tilt it over and look at underneath in the drainage holes and see if there's a lot of roots growing out the bottom of the pot.
Okay. I will do that.
That would be an indication.
Right this minute, I can't do it.
No, of course.
It's very, very heavy.
Yes, that's right. I imagine. So the two things I would suggest is, one is pot it up one size now. The other is just be very careful with the watering. So even if you need to use a moisture meter to double check what's going on in terms of the moisture down deep in the pot, it's easy to overwater Clivia, but it's you're better to err on the side of underwatering rather than overwatering. And that's the other thing that could be causing yellow leaves.
I was told some time ago they need an awful lot of water.
I don't think I would put it quite like that. I'd say they need a medium amount of water, but let it dry right out between waterings.
Okay.
So it might be every couple of weeks that you water.
Okay? Now, this plant is in the ceramic. It's in a beautiful ceramic pot. Is there a way that I can cut around and even damage some roots in order to save the pot, or do I have to smash the pot?
Good question. That's hard to say from here. Very sharp knife, potentially, butcher knife down into the whole root ball, slicing it all in half, so you've got two sections, but that'd be tough to do. So hard to say, but make sure whatever you go into has drainage holes. No solid pot without drainage.
I see. Okay. And when I have this plant out and I have all the roots, do I leave the roots or can I take some off, or how do I do this?
Okay, Erica, you have snuck in like 20 questions here. So listen, what you do is you can remove with sharp scissors any brown or black or shriveled up roots. Anything that's white or yellow or ivory color, hold on to if possible. Do not trim those off. Just anything that smells bad or is dead. Okay?
Okay. We've got to kind of move along here, Erica. Bless your heart. Yes, as you say, snuck a whole bunch in there on us. All righty. From London, Ontario, let's welcome in Joe to the Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio. Hey, Joe, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very good.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Charlie. Yeah, I got we just bought some Miss Manners obedient plant. I don't know whether you're familiar with it or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's got a whole slew of the growth on the top.
Yes.
What do I do with it? Can I cut that back, or do I let it grow or let it die off, or what?
Okay, so this is a perennial, herbaceous perennial plant.
A perennial, yeah.
And but why would you want to cut a whole slew?
No, I'm just wondering, leave it go and see how it, will it keep going as it is now? Will it just keep growing?
Yes. So what you want to do is, of course, get it into the ground.
Yes, it's in there.
Yeah, good. And, of course, maintain it, water as necessary. Next year is going to be a whole new experience for this plant because it's going to grow in your garden.
Yep.
So it's going to grow differently. It might not be as tall. It might not be as bushy. It should be as bushy. But the height is going to be very dependent on your soil, your moisture, and sun availability.
Good.
What you're looking at right now, it was grown in a pot under conditions
it's
where
it's in the garden.
No, I understand, but the... Oh, so it came out of somebody else's garden?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you bought it at a garden center and planted it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, but when you bought it, it was in a pot, and it had been grown in at a farm and a nursery, and they fertilized and they watered probably every single day there. So you're not going to do that at home. So I'm just saying, enjoy what you've got happening this year. Recognize next year is a whole different experience. It'll be a different height, I'm sure. But yeah, it's a great plant. It's very fun, the obedient plants, because you can sit there and you can play with the flowers. Eh? The flowers have a little axles on them.
Just leave it be as it is.
Yeah, exactly. Cut it down in the fall, but not until then.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Bye now.
Thank you. Have a good time in the former hometown of mine, London, Ontario. Yes,
that's
indeed.
Right.
Frankie reaches for the bell because we have a first-time caller on the line from Seagrave, Ontario. Hey, that's for you, Jane. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I love your show, and I think it's excellent. Thank you for taking my call. I started growing herbs recently, and I have a St. John's wort plant. And it has been second year in a row infested with the Chrysalina beetle, which I believe was introduced in Ontario to keep these plants under control. But I don't want mine under. I want it to grow.
Yeah.
I want the opposite effect. Do you have any suggestions in what I can do to control this beetle in my plants?
Huh, that's a good question. I don't off the top of my head, but I can certainly look it up and see if I can come up with a suggestion, and I would likely have to report back on that next week. But when you say it's the Chrysalina beetle, you've identified that that's the beetle that's...
Yes, I looked it up online, and... it certainly is. And I actually did call Agriculture Canada. Mm-hmm. And basically, they really didn't have anything that I could do other than soap and water. But that's only if you're in your garden 24/7 monitoring it, So that really doesn't work for me. So I was wondering if there was anything else that you might be able to suggest, because they're looking pretty, like they'll absolutely kill the plant.
Right. Well, if that's what they were designed to do, then I guess that's what they are doing. Well, like I said, leave that with me, because, I mean, St. John's wort is grown and is sold. You know what we might have to do, just off the top of my head, this comes to mind. Have you ever heard of floating row covers? It's like cheesecloth, very fine netting.
Yeah,
and that is one solution to protecting plants from insects that are going to fly in and start eating them.
Okay, did you say floating?
Yeah, they're called floating because you can make them float, but make like a little mini greenhouse. Yeah, you can buy them as supports, little archways, like a little mini greenhouse. And any good garden center does carry. You can also buy online. Of course, you want to set up the cover over the plant before the beetles arrive. You don't want to trap them inside, right? And the other thing is, of course, a proper floating cover like that allows sun through and rain through,
right.
And everything can still get to the plant. And it's not really garishly ugly. It should be a very, very fine mesh, but it keeps all the insects out. But I'll see if I can come up with anything else.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're
all
very
right,
welcome.
Jane, thank you for being a first-time caller, and don't be a stranger.
Coffee's always on.
All right, you got it. Well, as we say goodbye to Jane, that leaves the line open at 416-360-0740. And, of course, our out-of-town call is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And from Richmond Hill, let's welcome Helena. Good morning, Helena.
Good morning, Charlie.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I've got a horrifying question for you.
What is
it? It's going to horrify you.
What?
The question is, where do I get artificial grass and artificial flowers? Where do I buy them from? Who do I buy them from? And what nursery would carry it?
So you're asking me, the gardener, where to get artificial stuff?
You're right, you're horrifying.
I knew it would horrify you.
I knew it would
anger you in a way.
Fell off my chair there. Well, you know what?
My garden, Charlie, has gone to rack and ruin. I'm unable to control the weeds. My whole garden is full of wildflowers and weeds and bugs and everything else that's bad for the garden.
I'll tell you, though, the artificial...
There was a newsletter sent around the neighborhood about how the garden should be kept nice and neat and clean and beautiful.
Well, and
my garden is the worst one on the block now.
Well, you're right.
Because of my disability, my physical disability, my terrible arthritis that I suffer from.
So
I'm able to do any gardening now.
So, okay, Helena, you're absolutely right that artificial is a super low-maintenance kind of product to put into our gardens, particularly when we're having a tough time getting into the gardens ourselves, and, you know, maintains that beautiful color and healthy-looking garden for the public to see. Super expensive, though. Very expensive to get into the artificial products. Sheridan Nurseries sells quite a few artificial plants, like green plants, but, you know, hundreds of dollars per plant. Lots and lots. Lots of faux flowers are out there, dollar store, etc. And artificial turf is available mostly online, but you know, it's just one of those things.
Remember you had suggested a number of shows ago about Rent-A-Sun?
Except Rent-A-Sun doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, is that right?
But I think there's like Rent-A-Husband now.
Okay, well, they just upped the game,
That's right. So maybe Helena should check with them.
But for a reasonable amount of money, you can maybe employ some people to help you with that backyard, because that can be a real worry.
Well, that's right. And you, like Helena said, she's feeling some pressure in the neighborhood that everybody's got
But with arthritis, bad arthritis, it's tough.
Yeah, it's absolutely tough. So, I mean, Joan Love, bless her.
If anybody has any ideas, hey, give us a help with a shout out there.
But I think, Helena, I'd be sticking with the real and just looking for some help with the maintenance. And, you know, you and Shirley have brought a maintenance company up to the cabin to help.
Kate's Garden. Yeah, from
And they're Markham based. So, consider that as well, Helena. Maybe a good maintenance company, I can think of a few of them, would be better
to give you a hand to get
on
things
site.
Under control.
Yeah, and plant some stuff. Get some flowers and get color.
Thanks so much. That's one of the funniest calls I think we've ever had. Where can I buy artificial flowers and plants? And she knew right off the bat she's going to lay us on the floor with that one. Excellent. You know, we have to take a little break here, but we'll return to the garden show with real flowers and stuff.
Yeah. Real bugs.
Yeah,
real everything.
Back in just a moment.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Gee, I wish I'd been thinking fast enough. We could have suggested Simon and Garfunkel's Cecilia. They did a great job of that song, and that would welcome Cecilia to the program. Good morning, Cecilia. Welcome.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
I've received a beautiful hydrangea from my daughter at Mother's Day, and I have cut it back down, and I'm treating it just as a house plant.
Okay.
I was wondering whether I will ever get flowers on it again.
So right now it's got green leaves?
Whoops.
Hello?
Yes. Did you hear me? Does it have green leaves on the plant?
It started to, I cut it right back, and it's starting to grow the leaves and that on it right now.
Right. So that's fine. So keep it in a spot. You prefer to keep it inside? You don't want to take it outside?
No, I have it in a sunroom growing right now.
Okay. So just check it every day, every second day for water. You don't want to have it soaking wet all the time, but you don't want it to dry out too much so that it goes all limp. So you will keep it, you know, reasonably moist. When you do water, water thoroughly, and then let it dry down between waterings. And just let it do its thing. You could certainly fertilize it right now. That will encourage new growth. In terms of when you'll see flowers again, you might see some flowers you might see some flowers in the next 6 weeks, or you might see some flowers in the next 6 months. It's there's no absolute guarantee on when it will flower again. Your biggest challenge right now is to keep it growing happy and healthy so that flowers will form. Okay?
Flowers will form.
Oh.
Okay,
Okay, thanks for that. You got the radio on in the background. All right, thanks, Cecilia. Good luck with that.
Okay, moving along for Georgetown caller here, Jean on the line. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Excellent.
I'm calling about a hydrangea. I had it new last summer, and it did really well, and I gradually put it outside. and it was fine. And I brought it in the fall. I had sprayed it and so forth. And it did pretty well over the winter. But when I put it outside, it started losing a few leaves, yellowed. And I thought it was just getting used to being outside. And that was fine for a while. But then suddenly in that intense heat a week or so ago, it really lost most of its leaves.
Okay. So, okay, just for, to go backwards a few seconds here.
Yeah.
You're actually calling about a hibiscus plant, right? Not a hydrangea.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay. So just for anybody who's listening who wants to be clear
no,
what we're talking
hydrangea.
About.
A little confusing. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So it's a tropical plant and you've done the right things, bringing it in for the winter, taking it out again in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So the intense heat is obviously causing some problems, not only for your plant, but other plants. And I think probably what happened is it just dried out too much.
Although I did water it every day.
Oh, okay. So that's, we try to, I mean, sometimes we have to water things every day. If, like, is the pot so small that it was really dry at the end of the day and you needed to water? Or, you know, is it time to repot that plant?
No, it's rather a large, I did repot it before, and it's rather a large pot, but it was just completely dry.
Yeah, really?
Every day.
Every day. So,
but I did bring it in last weekend. And I thought maybe that intense heat and humidity was too much.
Oh, no. You know what?
Well, but it's beautiful now.
Oh, okay. So you cooled it off.
And buds and new shiny leaves.
Oh, that's a quality.
So
that's
now
good.
I'm afraid to put it back out.
Well, I mean, there's an argument for keeping it inside since it's clearly happy.
Yeah, but I really would like it out on the deck.
Sure. And is it in a really sunny spot inside your house? This is all happening.
Inside, it's sunny but filtered.
Yeah.
But on the deck, of course, it was in bright sun.
I would take it back
8 hours almost.
Yeah, I'd take it back outside. I mean, you will want to bring it in 6 weeks, but I would let it be out for the next 6 weeks. We are not anticipating that kind of temperature again.
No.
And honestly, the fact that it's perked up so much inside sounds like it might have perked up outside as well. Like that, all those things just don't happen that quickly.
Right. It was maybe a coincidence.
Yeah. Just the timing and everything. So, yeah, I'd get it back outside because the plant is already acclimatized to the outside.
Yeah.
And they are tropical plants. Mm-hmm. Like hibiscus are tough. There's hedges of hibiscus. You've been to the Dominican Republic, Florida, places like that.
Yeah, that's what I assumed it's supposed
like
to be a tropical plant.
Absolutely. Loves the heat. No, no issues with hot sun. So,
and you think watering every day when it's dry is okay?
I would just make sure it's dry. I mean, just because it's dry on the surface doesn't mean it's dry way down deep in that pot.
What about that? Suggestion of a moisture meter.
A moisture meter will tell you, the probe
that
goes into the soil. And make sure you've got a saucer beneath the plant so that when you do water, the water doesn't run right through.
Right.
Because, yeah, I mean, if it's dry, it's amazing how much water those plants will.
It does. It just seems to soak it up like nothing.
Keep pouring it in until it's not running until the saucer overflows.
Not draining. Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, let it be until it's dry. And it shouldn't be every day, but then again, it was so hot, it could have been every day last week.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Georgetown for us.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing, going back to our very first caller, Elsie Tottenham. She called and she was asking about irises and where could she get irises. And I said I'd have to get back to her on that. Well, here's where I hope you're still listening, Elsie. And anybody else who's an iris lover, there is a lovely website and lovely gardens called Trails End. Trails End Iris Gardens, just outside Hamilton, between Hamilton and Brantford. So, but it's beautiful. I've been to their gardens. Now, they do open houses. So, you know, come on down and see the gardens, but now we're at the end of the iris season, so you would only be able to go in there by appointment. There's not even a lot of irises blooming at this point, but they have a really excellent selection of
good source
of irises. Yeah, and they do mail order, so a very educational, well laid out website. So Trails End Iris Gardens. trailsandiris.com.
Okay, okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Charlie. And we have to take a little bit of a break here as we approach the latter part of our show. And we'll be on the air with John from Mississauga. Old friend John, I'm sure.
I bet.
Yep, he'll be along momentarily.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, let's go back to the lines here and say hi to John in Mississauga. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie. And congratulations on 10 years of great advice to all our listeners and to myself. I learned a lot from you.
Oh, good. Thanks, John.
And really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Our pleasure.
So my question now this year, Charlie, I've have maybe, what, 100 plants of garlic.
Uh-huh.
Or thereabout, hardly any of them had the scapes.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, with the wind, I even tightened them. Some of them I put sticks. Do you think it's time to, take them out?
Okay. I think it was last week or the week before, somebody called on just this subject about when to harvest the garlic. What I would do, so what I've learned is you want about two-thirds of the green leaves to be yellow.
To dry, yeah.
Yeah, so mine are just starting to yellow now.
Okay.
If you're at that point even of halfway yellow leaves, uh-huh, I would definitely dig up one to see uh-huh the status of the bulb. Uh-huh. I find it very odd that you haven't had any scapes, though.
Hardly. I mean, as you know, we had some wind, and that day, Charlie, I went and I put sticks and I put, you know, it took me a while, but like I said, you know, I'm broken, you know what I mean? Like, they're not sort of straight.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, and I had success before.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world. The scapes are just flowers, and we don't even want them. So, if anything, it's a good thing. Maybe you've come up with a new breed that doesn't flower, and you can make $1 million with this one. So, don't eat them all, because you never know. This might be something like some mutant garlic that doesn't flower, and we could save all kinds of time removing the scapes if it doesn't.
Oh, but I'll tell you, my wife liked the scapes because... you know, she pickles them, right?
So,
I tell you, Frank, you'll love them.
He would.
When you're near the pool, like where you were last week.
Yeah.
You know?
Some pickled garlic, some bread, and anyway.
Oil.
Yeah,
so do you think I leave them maybe another couple of weeks, Charlie?
Well, but as soon as we get to about halfway yellow, get out your digging fork and dig up one to test.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because you don't want to leave them too long.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Have a great day.
always great to talk to you, John. Thank you for joining us.
Always new information from him, mate.
At the Garden Show on Zoomer Radio, saying hi to Dave in Glen Arm. Hey, Dave, how are you doing out there?
I'm doing good. Good morning to Charlie and to you, Frank, and happy 10th anniversary, Charlie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was funny, the last time I called in at the end of the show, and I was listening to the callers, and there was a caller from Cannington and Cobequid, and you had asked where we are located, and Glen Arm is equidistant between Cannington and Cobequid.
Well, there you go.
Perfect.
I don't know. Anyway, last time I called, it was about... those bladder gall mites on the Acer Freemani Jeffers Red.
Yep.
And this time I'm calling about, it's a spider mite, spruce spider mite, on the Picea pungens glauca.
Yep.
And I'm just on the blue spruce.
Yes.
Now, it usually hits about the middle of August, and the needles will start
turning yellow.
Rusty.
Yeah.
And I don't like spraying them with chemical, and I'm just wondering if it's something. I know you had suggested a dormant spray with the
except not
bladder gall mites, but
not on blue spruce though. If you look, dormant spray will affect the color of your spruce.
Yeah, that's what
you
I
know
thought.
What I would do if you suspect that these spider mites are coming, or you've had them in the past, or you know conditions when we have a hot, dry summer, we see lots of spider mites. That's the conditions they love. So you could be preemptive and be ahead of the game and have some soap and water solution all ready to go, because you can theoretically annihilate those spider mites if you can spray thoroughly with a soap solution, 40 parts water, one part soap, not detergent, and that will not hurt the spruce at all, but it will either kill or mostly kill any spider mites that are going to do permanent damage to the plant. That would be my suggestion. Otherwise, there's real no miticides for homeowners to use. Actually, spider mites are so resistant to all the chemicals anyway, your best bet is going to be a soap solution to slow them down and hopefully kill them.
Something like an ivory soap?
An ivory or a Safer soap. Well, you can get a true horticultural soap made by Safers. So S-A-F-E-R-S, Safer soap. You can probably get it online in a concentrated form, and then you just mix it up yourself. All right?
Okay.
Super. Thanks very much,
Well,
Dave.
That's great.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, take care. Thanks for the great advice, and happy 10th again, and hope you have another 10 years.
Good stuff.
I don't know if Frank and I could put up with each other quite that long. We'll see.
without scrapping and fighting a little bit. I don't know whether we have time. No, we don't have time to go to our final caller online there, but next time, call in earlier, okay?
Yeah, and we're back next Saturday. Just a couple of quick things that I didn't mention at the beginning. Starting this past Thursday, the Toronto Botanical Gardens is presenting the annual Free Edwards Summer Music Series Thursday evenings, starting last Thursday, but going on every Thursday right up to the end of August. So very fun place to be. You're outside, music out in the gardens. There is a licensed patio. There's a lovely bistro. There's a garden shop. There's the gardens to tour. And there is a local farmer's market on Thursdays as well. So everything kicks off starting about 10 a.m. in the morning, goes right through till 9 o'clock every Thursday night. Highly recommend. And just in general, highly recommend the farmer's markets, the local farmer's markets.
Yeah.
If you've got one, visit it, support your local farmer, enjoy your local produce.
Buy Canadian.
Not to mention buy Canadian.
You betcha.
So, yes, that's my words of advice for today.
All right. I can almost hear the engines in the next room starting up. Dave's Corner Garage with Dave Redeker
around
and
the corner.
Alan Gelman zooming in just a couple of moments.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
Thank you. You're back again this afternoon for a little bit?
Yeah, back. 1 o'clock.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Thank you so much, Frank, for all your help and support for the last 10 years. And, of course, thanks to Faz. Couldn't do it without him and the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.